It may be that you are wondering in the last few weeks, who is that person that keeps getting up to preach? I'll tell you who. A sinner saved by grace. That's who. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul declared, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Salvation is one of the most important words of the Bible. The possession of salvation is the most important possession in life. For those who possess salvation will never be condemned, but will forever be accepted by God. And that's why salvation is a major theme of our church. I want to share with you today two basic truths about salvation. Are you ready? Truth number one, salvation is so very simple. Simple, not complicated. Simple. Let me tell you why. Salvation is a gift. A gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you turn again, if you've probably closed your Bibles, but turn again to Ephesians chapter 2. I just want to reemphasize a verse that Jim read earlier. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." No one. Who is speaking to you today? A sinner. Saved by grace. Salvation is a gift. In our world today, this is one of the least known facts about salvation. Almost everyone thinks that salvation is something you have to earn. No, you don't earn it. You don't have to earn it. You cannot earn it. Salvation is a gift from God. It's just that simple. So many people in so many religions are doggedly trying to earn their way to heaven by good works, by good deeds, by going to church. But God's Word tells us that's not the way it's done. He gives salvation as a free gift. anybody can earn a gift. No, anybody can receive a gift. For gifts are not earned. A child can receive a gift. A teen can receive a gift. An adult can receive a gift. Salvation is so simple because salvation is a gift. Aren't you glad for that? I am. Another reason why salvation is so simple is this. All of the work of salvation has already been accomplished by Jesus Christ. There is a tremendous amount of work involved in saving people. A tremendous amount. Salvation requires delivering a person out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Salvation requires the total payment for all of our sins. Total payment. Salvation requires the obtaining of citizenship in heaven. Salvation begins with a person who, as we read here in Ephesians 2, dead in sins. It begins with a person who is spiritually dead, into whom must be infused eternal life. That is a tremendous amount of work. But it's all been done by Christ at Calvary. Or because of Calvary. So, when we receive the gift of eternal life, all the work that Christ accomplished for us becomes ours. We receive the gift of eternal life, and we are therefore delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. All of our sins were paid for by Christ. When you receive the gift of eternal life, all of our sins are paid for by Christ. We don't pay for them. We can't pay for them. But He did. And we receive that. When we receive the gift of eternal life, we become citizens of heaven. You don't feel that happening, but it's true. When we receive the gift of eternal life, we are no longer dead in sins, but alive in God, unto Jesus Christ. All of this work, all of this tremendous amount of work, all taken care of by Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's so simple for me. I don't do any of the work. It's a gift. I don't work for it. Jesus Christ did all the work. John the Baptist said this of Jesus Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There's that work I was talking about. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Peter put it this way, speaking of Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Christ did it. He bore our sins there. Paul puts it this way, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus Christ himself put it this way, I laid down my life for the sheep. May I speak to you men for a minute? Let's say that your wife has a big job to do, maybe a huge stack of dishes. But she has to go out for a while, and she can't do them until she gets back. You know that she will be tired when she returns. So bless your heart, you do that stack of dishes for her while she's gone. You do it well. I mean, you don't break anything. And then you leave her a little note right where that stack of dishes was. You leave her a little note, and it says simply this, I love you. The Lord Jesus Christ realized, God realized, more than you and I would ever realize, there was a job that was a huge job. It was so huge that you and I could never begin to get it done. As I said, the work of salvation is a tremendous undertaking. But Jesus Christ came and did the whole job for us when he died for our sins. And he left us a little note in the Bible telling us the reason he did it is because he loves us. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A few years ago, my wife's brother was saved. He had never in his life gone to church. But he began to read a Bible that had belonged to his mother. He read it carefully. He paid attention to what he was reading. And at the age of 69, he received Christ as his Savior. When he told us about it, he said to my wife, I knew you were right all along, but I never thought I could be good enough to be saved. And then I found out I didn't have to be. For Jesus Christ took care of the whole job when he died for my sins. I mean, that's just from reading the Bible, not going to church. He didn't go to church. But he carefully read the Bible, and he realized, I don't have to be good. Christ died for me. It's a wonderful thing to see someone that age, just from reading the Bible, trusting Christ as Savior. He's still faithful today. Oh, he goes to church now. But he's made himself a little stand for his table. And every morning with breakfast, he puts his Bible on that little stand. And he grows thereby. We wondered what he would do, because shortly after he received Christ as Savior, his wife died. We wondered, how will he handle this spiritually? And we were so thankful. He said, "Who am I to complain? God gave me this woman for 49 years. I have no complaints." And he continued on his faithful Bible reading. Salvation is so very simple, because first of all, it's a gift. Secondly, all of the work has been done by Jesus Christ. And thirdly, because my part is crystallized in one word: faith. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is trusting in Christ. Faith is believing in Christ. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith is receiving Christ. Came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them God gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Faith is calling upon Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a call of faith. Lord, save me. The Bible uses all these different words to describe faith: believing in, trusting in, calling upon, receiving, but they all boil down to the same thing: faith. Faith in Christ. Faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith that Jesus Christ did die for our sins. Faith that he rose again and will save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. That's faith in him. May I caution you just a moment that there is a difference between believing about Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus Christ. To believe about Jesus Christ is to believe facts. I believe the fact Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe the fact that this Son of God came to this earth and died on the cross for my sins. I believe the fact that he rose again. I believe the fact that he can save those who come to him. But that's only believing about Jesus Christ. The devil believes that. But believing in Jesus Christ means I trust you. I accept you. I receive you. I call upon you to be my Savior. The believing of facts is necessary. You start there. But it's not until you trust in him and receive him that you believe in him. Anyone can believe in Christ and place his or her faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. anyone can do that right here in church or at home or anywhere. It's not where you are, though it's nice to be in church. It's nice to receive Christ in church. Probably most of us have received Christ as Savior in a church. I know I did. But my wife's brother never went to church. And just in his own home, with his Bible, he believed in Christ, called upon him to be his Savior. Faith is so simple. It is unencumbered by the crushing demands of religious rules and duties and works. Faith simply says, yes, I trust in Christ. So, salvation is very simple. It's a gift. All the work has been done by Jesus Christ. My part is simply faith, trust, calling upon the Lord. Truth number two. Truth number one, you remember, salvation is simple. Truth number two. Salvation is no small thing. Salvation is a huge thing. Salvation is a tremendous thing. It may be simple, but it's not small. Before anyone can possess salvation and admit, well, he must admit and realize, I am a sinner. You know what that means? That means I do not qualify for heaven. That's where you start. That's no small thing. Before I can be saved or anyone can be saved, I have to realize what I am, a lost sinner. I may qualify for earthly honor. I may be found in who's who. I may win a Nobel Prize. I may be an all-star in my field. But I don't qualify for heaven. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have to realize that's talking about me. I don't qualify. By nature, we crave acceptance. Am I right? Just shake your head. We simply crave acceptance. We also crave admiration. To say to us, you are a sinner. You do not qualify. That's no small thing. That's hard to take. I will never forget how I felt when I tried out for the sixth grade chorus. The music teacher rejected me She said, my voice was sour. What right did she have to criticize my melodious voice? Well, she was the music teacher. I guess she did have that right. But it was hard for me to admit that. Yeah, it still is. That happened, what, 10 years ago? Never forgotten it. The author of Holiness says to us, your holiness is sour. You don't measure up. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come short. We don't qualify. Salvation is no small thing because it involves the admission, I don't qualify for heaven. Gets worse. Not only do we not qualify for heaven, we cannot qualify for heaven. We cannot change God's rules of righteousness. To say they're written in stone is an understatement. We cannot change God's rules. We cannot erase our past sins. What's done is done. You can't change it. And we cannot atone for our sins by turning over a new leaf and trying to do good things. God describes our good things in this way: your righteousnesses are as filthy rags to God. We are helpless. We cannot change the past. We cannot change our condemnation. We cannot lift a finger to save ourselves. That's a huge issue to deal with. But salvation is no small thing. We must admit, not only do I not qualify for heaven, I cannot qualify for heaven. That is an enormous pill to swallow. But we must swallow it. We must admit it. We are thus totally dependent upon what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. Can I not somehow have some part in my salvation? No. No part at all. We must take the complete job of salvation for me, for us, and place it into the hands of Jesus Christ, saying, I trust in you. That is no small matter. Listen, whenever we become a passenger in a car, you might remind yourself of this when you go home today. You might prefer not to remind yourself of it. But whenever you become, or I become, a passenger in a car, we are placing our life in the hands of the driver of that car, right? But that only has to do with earthly life. That only has to do with physical life. When we are placing our faith in Jesus Christ, putting into His hands the task of our salvation, that's for all of eternity. How huge is that? Salvation is simple, but it's no small thing. To say to Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I ask you to be my Savior. God saves us for all eternity. There is no more enormous thing than that, ever. So, salvation is no small thing, for it involves the admission, I do not qualify for heaven. I'm a sinner. It involves the admission, I cannot qualify for heaven. I can't. Not only do I not, I cannot. And it involves the realization that we are completely dependent upon what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. But once we realize that dependency, once we call upon Christ in our hearts to be our Savior, oh, salvation is so simple. It's a gift. All the work was done by Christ. And my part is all crystallized in one word, faith in Jesus Christ. I would be remiss after telling you these things if I did not ask. Have you ever asked Christ to be your Savior? Did you ever realize you were lost and you couldn't change it? And you called upon Christ and asked Him to save you? Have you ever done that? If you never have, would you like to? Would you like to? And if you would, can I help you? I'm going to ask that we all bow our heads and close our eyes so that we might give privacy and quietness for people who need it today. And let me just ask you, with our heads bowed, if you've never received Christ as your Savior and put the whole task of your salvation into His hands, would you in your heart admit to God, yes, I don't qualify for heaven. I'm a sinner. Would you like to say that to God today in your heart? Would you then like to admit to God, I cannot save myself. I cannot be good enough. I cannot qualify. My sins are all done in a sense that I can't change it. I can't atone for it. I can't help myself in any way. Would you admit that to God in your heart? And would you in your heart ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Would you believe that he came and did die for your sins and offers to save, and he will save all who would come to him in their heart. Therefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Would you do that today in your heart and ask him to be your Savior? You can look up and open your eyes. And let me just say this. If you today ask Christ to save you, you admitted you're lost, you admitted you can't save yourself, you believe that he died for you, and in your heart you asked him to save you, he did. He did. You didn't feel it, but he did. He did that the very moment you asked him. You may not feel any different right now, but you are different. You are now a sinner saved by grace for eternity. And if you made that decision today, I would like you to share it with me after the service. I would like you to tell me about it, because I want to rejoice with you. We'd love to know. If the pastor were here, I would say, tell the pastor. Pastor's not here, tell me. Or maybe there's something else that you have confidence in that you'd like to tell today. Just tell people what you've done. Salvation is so simple, but it is no small thing.